What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love. Love that comforts
from heaven. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now and allows us to bring you great shows like today's. I just want to give a quick rundown of Calyx meetings. We didn't take a break in the last show because we had a guest when we normally don't, and every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, Father McKay and I and a whole bunch of others get together in our Matt Talbot Chapel, the corner of 29th and Dickinson. And we begin at 6 o'clock with adoration and Mass and then our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we are actually over in St. Gabriel's Church. Still starts at 6 o'clock, Holy Hour from 6 to 7, followed by Mass. The third Tuesday in May will be May 21st, the latest it could be. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, May the 2nd. The unit in my home parish is St. Luke's in Glenside. We just met this past weekend. We won't get together again until Saturday, May 18th. I'll keep you up to date on that one. But I did want to mention the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock vigil mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. So they are meeting this Saturday, April the 27th. Malvern, the unit at Malvern with Father McKay and Patrick and a bunch of others, they just met this past Sunday, so they won't meet again until May 19th. And in nearby Delaware at St. Matthew's every Wednesday, 6:15 p.m., they have Mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. So I just want to give a quick rundown since we didn't do it in the last show. We are on the last Wednesday of the month, and that means it's Divine Will Wednesday. And each month, I think for a year, almost a year, we've had Peter De Palma. Maybe it's over a year now. And we talk about the gift of the Divine Will, Louise Picaretta, and all things divine will. So welcome back, Peter. It's great to have you.
Hey, thanks so much, Ken. You know, just a blessing to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And, you know, truly blessed to be alive at this time and for all opportunity we have to share the goodness, the love of God and His Blessed Mother. And hopefully we'll do that today. But again, the divine will, it's everything. I'd like to go into a real quick quote by Pope Benedict.
Before the quote, Peter, can we do a prayer? I know it's something
absolutely.
We omit every that we sometimes
we forget every time. I actually have it in front of me too. Okay,
perfect.
Would you like to use a supplication, or you want to do the prayer?
No, either or. Have at it.
Okay. I can lead us in with a supplication if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Comes from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
It's one of my favorites, Ken. I mean, going to Our Lady, you know, bringing back some of the tradition of Our Lady also will help get that zeal back in our hearts. You know, I mean, the Angelus is an age-old tradition that I think has fallen by the wayside in many places. You know, the 6 a.m. hour, the 6 p.m. hour, the 12 noon hour, even incorporate, you know, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. I mean, just beautiful remembrances during the day of our Lord, of our Blessed Lady, and again, constantly thinking now about the divine will. Why? Because God wants us to. You know, it's not. It's getting out of the habit of doing what we want and doing what God wants. And you know, if we think about that, that may be so overwhelming. How do I know what God wants? He made it really simple. He gave a great analogy, like he does in Scripture too, with the parables. He says, how do you know? Basically, he says, how do you know you're doing my will? Well, if you're tired, don't try to stay awake. And if you're wide awake, don't try to sleep. End quote. So just embrace now, because we don't have anything else besides now. Yeah. As really a guarantee. We have now because we know it.
Yeah.
I think Father Brown was articulate. He told us something that made us all chuckle. He says, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow.
That's right.
Think about it. If we dwell too much on yesterday, you know, what we did or didn't do, I mean, we can learn from it, but not to dwell on it. And if we overprepare for tomorrow, which isn't a guarantee, we lose now.
That's right.
We're going to eventually run out of days, so... Again, today's crucified between two thieves. I love it. I try to remember that all the time.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the Angelus. A couple of podcasts I've listened to, every once in a while I listen to something other than Divine Will. And Father Ripperger, Chad Ripperger, is really big on the discipline in a prayer life. And he won't work with anybody until they agree to pray that Angelus three times a day. And, of course, we're in the Easter season, so we're praying the Regina Caeli, but... That idea of spiritual discipline is one of the first things I think we need in order to stay on that path. It's real. If we don't have that discipline, it's real easy to fall out of it. But when we do have it, you know what a difference it makes. Whether it's praying the Angelus three times a day, making sure you get your daily rosary in, spending time reading from the Book of Heaven or other writings of Louisa's. And I just want to let our listeners know, if you have a real interest in learning more about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will, Peter's website is queenofthedivinewill.org. That's queenofthedivinewill.org. And if you reach out to him, he'll add you to his email list and let you know when he's got live podcasts and a bunch of other information. He regularly has Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Sisters of the Divine Will on. And we also have a cenacle here locally, based in Philadelphia. But, Peter, we're now up to over 40 people that are joining that call in the morning from 6 a.m. to 7:30 Eastern time. And we're plowing through the Book of Heaven again. And just a great group. If you email me at ken@inhissign.com, that's ken@inhissign.com, I can provide all the details of how to join that call and the materials that you'll need. You don't have to run out and buy anything. Everything is available online, a lot of it on Peter's website and my own website. So just a real gift to be able to go through this with like-minded people and learn all about this gift of the divine will. I mentioned to Peter offline before we came on. A lot of our listeners already know Peter about that retreat I directed a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, being able to slip in, you know, a little bit about Louisa and this gift of the divine will and that fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer, where God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what a gift. And, you know, can't worry about what's already, like you say, can't worry about what's already behind us. We can't go back and relive it, redo it, undo it. And certainly can't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, because unfortunately for some people, tomorrow may not come here, you know, may never get here. But to live in the moment and, you know, I've had that in preparing for that retreat and you know, one of the talks I gave and talking about God's will and basically it comes down to love and loving whatever it is that's right in front of you, the person, the situation, to see God in it and to see what we can add to it as a result of our relationship with God. And I know when I do that, that's when I have my best days. And, you know, can actually feel like I'm actually living in the divine will from time to time, which was the furthest thing I thought of when I was first introduced to this. You know.
God had other plans, right?
Amen. Amen. You want to make, as my friend Father McKay says, you want to make God laugh, just make plans. And but one of the things we wanted to talk a little bit about today was the Blessed Mother and her role in this. We're quickly approaching next week, the month of May, which is always dedicated to our Blessed Mother. Remember, as a youngster, always taking part in the May procession. I remember the lilac bush in the backyard and hoping it would hurry up and bloom, because at least one day out of the month, I would be the one that had to bring the crown in for the Blessed Mother. And I remember my mother tying the lilacs to the, you know, a piece of wire or something that I had to gently get to school without having it all fall apart, and having my chance to place the crown on the Blessed Mother that day. And the critical role that she plays in the life of the church and in this gift of the divine will.
Right. Yeah, and the month of May is traditionally dedicated, as you mentioned, Ken, to our Blessed Mother. And May is also considered the season of the beginning of new life, considered the beginning of growth, if you think about, you know, in gardens and things of that nature. And in Mary, everything grew, because everything grew out of her, our Blessed Lord. And it's just, I think it was St. Aquinas. Was it Aquinas who said, Mary brought Jesus into this world, she will also bring Jesus to this world, again, in another era, another time. And that's what she's doing. That's what she's doing with the gift of living the divine will. She didn't ask for this job, but God designated her to mark her children. And, you know, we talk about refuges and things of great concern about, you know, the travesties that that may occur upcoming. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And, I've always said for many years, and I think I'm correct, that the greatest refuge we can run to is the blue mantle of Our Lady. Yes, some people will be called to house individuals. Some will be called to stockpile food and water and other supplies. But I think Our Lady, sort of like the general under the guidance of the superior Jesus, will explain to those individuals what we're called to do. Because we can't all do the same thing. Then, of course, things will be left uncovered. So I think running to her mantle, Ken, is so important, especially when things get difficult. And they might get difficult. There's a whole host of things that are going on right now that, you're not hearing about it on mainstream. I mean, there are certain states right now that are trying to circumvent and actually succeeding in circumventing the Electoral College. Things of this. So, again, the framers of the Constitution here in the United States, they knew that they had a beautiful design, a perfect design. And they stated the caveat. They said, as long as men's hearts do not change, if they're not depraved. And that's what's happened. Our hearts, there's no longer love, there's anger, there's frustration, there's everything from the other side trying to emulate and being played out in our day-to-day lives. Not in us, the listeners, perhaps. I mean, we have our moments, of course. But on a whole, the society is moving in one direction. And we are asked to be like Simon and to go against the current, against the stream. And that means that many of us may not make it. Again, 2/3 of humanity purportedly will not be here. But it is indicated, by Jesus, that those remaining will be ones living in the divine will. I mean, if you think about it, Ken, if all of heaven is living in the divine will, and now he's given this opportunity to bring this gift on earth before we get to heaven, wouldn't it make sense that those are the souls that would be left? And again, if Satan's going to be enchained and then released in 1,000 years, think about it. He'll have no host. He'll have like a flea, a mosquito needs something to bite. There'll be no one to bite because no one's going to take his temptation. No one's going to fall for that false premise again. So he's going to be out of business, and he's going to be quickly out of business. But again, we have to get through some difficult times. And you know what? I mean, we've tried everything. What do we have to lose? I mean, we've got a whole host of saints that have gone before us, incredible individuals that have pointed the direction through the gift of living the divine will. So, again, I think there's not much of a gamble here at all.
No, and, you just look at the signs of the times. You mentioned what's going on in some of the states, but even to look at what's going on around the world, whether it's the Israel and, what's going on with Palestine, Iran, and others surrounding them, whether it's Russia and the Ukraine.
whether it's the ongoing earthquakes in Taiwan, Japan, other areas in Asia. We even had a hurricane or an earthquake here in the East Coast a couple of weeks ago. You've got tsunamis in Indonesia, floods here and there. I don't know if these are all one-off things, but and I'm certainly not one to play Chicken Little and, you know, the world's coming to an end. But there's enough things going on that even if it's not those final days, that, you know, preparing for them is never a bad thing. Because what we're preparing for is to spend life with God, whether it's here on earth or in heaven. And, what I found in the book of heaven and the gift of the divine will is our ways to do that. And, you know, one of those ways, and I was rereading the introduction of the Virgin Mary and the kingdom of the divine will that basically set up to take you through the month of May day by day. And the gift and gifts that Our Lady wants to give us. And, you know, Peter, I look back over my own spiritual journey, and it really did start with the Blessed Mother and praying the rosary and then becoming a Knight of the Immaculata and making a consecration to Jesus through Mary with the Knights of Immaculata. And then from there it was Father Gately in his 33 Days to Morning Glory, and then St. Louis de Montfort and his consecration to Jesus through Mary. And it's really been her over the last 30 years that has, you know, carried me even on days when I didn't acknowledge her. But, you know, when I look back, I can see how she's, like I say, carried me for these three decades and done everything she could in order to help build my relationship with her son. And I say it to people all the time, you know, if God wanted to do that for me, he wants to do it for everybody. I'm not anybody special. I'm not unique. And, you know, God wants to do this for everybody. But we need to, you know, open our eyes, open our ears, look around and see what it is that oftentimes is being placed right in front of us, that we either ignore or say maybe tomorrow or next week I'll get to that. And there is no time like we've been saying here today. There is no time like the present. You know, if you think you're going to get to it tomorrow, good luck. That used to be my MO all the time. You know, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? And it got me in a lot of trouble. And so I try not to put anything off if I can avoid it. And get those things done today, especially when it comes to prayer and reading about the gift of the divine will.
It's a good practice. I'm a bit prejudiced when I talk about Our Lady in a great way. I can literally say that if it were not for our Blessed Mother, I would be dead. Probably both physically as well as spiritually. Spiritually for sure, and more likely physically as well. And Our Lady just she gave me what I needed when I needed it, and there's been no turning back. And again, for those of us or for you that may think about, you know, giving too much attention, too much love to our Blessed Mother, think about this. I think it was also St. Louis de Montfort said, I mean, do you think you or me can be more Marian than her son was, than Jesus? Of course not. We're never insulting our Lord. And I've got friends, you know, Catholics that will not say the creed, will not say certain things because they think it's bringing Mary to a level equal to Jesus. Again, Mary knows her role. Jesus knows her role. But they're inseparable. They're inseparable. If you think about it, I mean, there's just so much. I mean, St. Augustine, I mean, what he said, for those who are lukewarm with Mary, I mean, they stood at attention with this. St. Augustine wrote, quote, Jesus took his flesh from the flesh of Mary. We behold him and we give thanks each time we receive the Eucharist. How often do we, during this moment, remember to honor his mother? And St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, the flesh of Jesus is the maternal flesh of Mary. The blood of Jesus is the maternal blood of Mary. Therefore, it will never be possible to separate Jesus from Mary. And if we recognize that, I think it's easier to accept that. And once we accept that, again, God is waiting to shower us with these new grace and graces that are going to be needed for these difficult times coming. But he wants to know who's on his side, who's with him. And if we're with him, we're going to get everything we need. Remember, grace anticipates the soul. I love that. We're going to get what we need exactly when we need it. We don't get it in advance most times. We don't get it late all the time. We get it when we need it. And all the saints that went before us are a perfect example. St. Lawrence, you know, was burned at the stake and looked at his captors and said, you know, turn me over, I'm done. Basically with a chuckle, we were told. I mean, who can do that unless you're given the grace of God to withstand that at the moment it happens? So again, the martyrs are great saints. I think, you know, Ken, I think it's easier to become a saint today than it ever was because of how everything has gone wrong in the world.
Yeah, no. In some ways, I agree. The influences, unfortunately, for a lot of young people and trying to get them to see the forest for the trees can be a bit difficult. But you're absolutely right. If we look at the life of the church and all the saints that have gone before us, we have no excuse to not become saints. And my good friend Father McKay. Says, and I forget who he quotes. It might be John of the Cross that said, why are there not more saints? And it's remarkable resistance to grace. Like you said, God just wants to shower that grace on us. And, you know, we ignore it. We don't ask for it. It comes and we don't recognize it. And I think that's the beauty of being on the path and the difference between, wise guys and guys that are full of wisdom is that we're able to look back and see where God's grace has influenced us in life and where we made use of it and where we didn't. And to as a result, going forward, we look for those moments of grace, whether it's encounters with people we like or dislike, whether it's particular devotions, whatever it is that God is using to provide that grace, that we accept it real time. We recognize it when it's happening and make use of it. And I think we both can say that there, at least for periods of our lives, we totally ignored it, didn't see it, didn't care to see it. And what a difference life can be when we make use of that grace that God so freely gives us.
Yeah, when we open our eyes. You mentioned our children, and that's a great point too, Ken. We've got to really pray for the children because, again, when the Communist Manifesto was located and they looked at it, I mean, many of the points that they had to accomplish, they have accomplished already. They had to gain control of the universities. They had to corrupt the youth with crazy ideas, with drugs, with alcohol, with fantasies. All of this is taking place. So really, they're all victims. And again, a lot of times when we confront it head on with truth, of course, it's a matter of both sides just dig in and nothing gets better. So again, I think it's so far gone that we're beyond human intervention. I think it's God must intervene, and he's going to intervene, and he's going to save our children. Because again, he explained to us, he told us, and he told the thief on the cross, he was petitioning to his Father, "Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do." And many that do that today, I think we can say the same. Remember, Our Lady's apparitions, every apparition has told us what's going to happen. In Fatima, she said, there'll come a time, there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. That's how disoriented it is. And isn't that today?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we see it? I mean, many, many good people are doing bad things. And they know not what they do, but many, again, are also doing bad things, and they know exactly what they're doing. Again, they've sold out to the other side. It's the final battle. This is what God has been talking about through Scripture. This is the ultimate battle, and our Lord and our Lady, they explain to us exactly what's going to happen at that hour of death. And both our Lord and our Lady will be there, and they'll do everything they can to bring us to them. But again, we have the final say in that. That's one thing we have control over, saying yes to God or no to God. And it doesn't matter how many times we've said no throughout our whole life. We have that opportunity at the end of life to say yes. And the more we know, Ken, the more knowledge we acquire, the more we're going to be enlightened to the fact that, you know, just like on that pizza box, we tried all the rest, now try the best. We have nothing to lose than to give the gift of living in the Bible a chance. I mean, God says it's the greatest gift that he has given to mankind. Father Inuzzi corroborates that and says it's actually the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. Now think about that one word delineation. If it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind, then there's nothing to aspire. There's nothing greater to aspire for. He's given us everything. He's giving us breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert all at one time. All we have to say is fiat. Explain, Lord, how to do this. Help me do this. And that's exactly what our Blessed Mother's for. That's exactly the position, the role she plays, what God wants her to do and what she wants to do herself. She's full of love. She's full of her son.
Amen. Our guest today is Peter DePalma, who's here regularly on the last Wednesday of the month when we talk about the gift of the divine will. His website is queenofthedivinewill.org. If you do visit his website, just be forewarned that you will be overwhelmed. There's so much material there that I don't think in three lifetimes you could get through all of it, and you're not expected to. But different people are looking for different things. There's different people that have been talking about the gift of the divine will over the years, whether it's Father Iannuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, Father Olin Brown, and others. And Peter has their writings, their videos, their audios. Are all out there. So I encourage you to go and check it out. I also encourage you to get in touch with me at ken@inhissign.com if you're interested in getting involved in a local Divine Will Cenacle where we read from the Book of Heaven each morning. We have reached the bottom of the hour, Peter, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, maybe we can dive into the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, a book with a full imprimatur, three of them as a matter of fact, and how to work through Our Lady with the gift of the divine will. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for he wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610 527-2906.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at Catholic in His Sign Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And, Peter, just a quick story. On Sunday, we had a gentleman that had been coming to Calyx meetings off and on for a while and decided to come into the Catholic Church, and on Sunday made his first Holy Communion and received the Sacrament of Confirmation. And we went to the local diner for a bite to eat afterwards. And when we get there, a couple of folks that have been involved with this radio apostolate, Mike Romeo and his wife Venus, and John and Anne Marie Madrigal, happened to be there. And I just stopped over to say hi, and I forget how it even came up, but I mentioned to them that when they remodeled the studio here last summer, we had to clean out, you know, 40 years worth of paper and books and what have you that it had accumulated. And I came in here one Wednesday to do the show, and Maureen had come across three books. Two of them were signed by Father Iannuzzi and were gifts to the founder of this apostolate, Dom Lettieri. And so in talking to them, they, you know, recalled that, you know, back in the 90s that Dom had heard of the gift of the divine will and had been in touch with Father Iannuzzi. I forget whether or not he had him on the radio, but so it's it was here a few decades ago, and it's back again now on the last Wednesday of each month. Before we went to the break, I mentioned I want to talk a little bit about the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. This was a book that was more or less dictated to Louisa by the Blessed Mother. And Peter, in going back through the appeal, which is more like an introduction of why Mary wanted to provide this to Louisa, there's a paragraph that says, "This book is of gold, my child. It will become your spiritual fortune and your happiness, also terrestrial. In it you will find the fount of all goods. If you are weak, you will acquire strength. If you are tempted, you will achieve victory. If you have fallen into sin, you will find the pitying and powerful hand that will lift you up again. If you feel afflicted, you will find comfort. If cold, the sure means to get warm. If hungry, you will enjoy the delicious food of the divine will. With it, you will lack nothing. You will no longer be alone, because your mama will keep you sweet company. And with her every maternal care, she will take on the commitment of making you happy. I, the celestial empress, will take care of all your needs, provided that you consent to live united with me." And, of course, if you're united with our Blessed Mother, you're united with her Son, Jesus Christ. And it seems only fitting that she will be able to provide all these things, as long as we give our fiat, we give our yes, and willing to give up our own goals, our own desires, in order to desire what she desires, what Jesus Christ desires. And like we were saying earlier, you get glimpses of it, being able to live in the divine will for short periods, maybe even some longer periods. Can definitely say that I've experienced some of these things already in the short time that I've been a student in the kindergarten of the divine will. How's that?
Perfect. well, Ken, what you mentioned, that's a really good point, too, because a lot of times there's misconceptions. Well, first of all, let me just get back to the joke about the website. You're right. It's overwhelming when you look at it. But let me give you a quick rationale. It doesn't matter where you enter in this gift of the divine will. It's like a mansion with a zillion doors and a zillion windows. So like Ken was saying, if you have a fondness to the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, or to the Hours of the Passion, or to the videos, or to this or to that, it doesn't matter. In fact, you could even just go arbitrarily and just pick one. All you need to do is get in and then dispose. And what does dispose mean? Dispose is not necessarily knowledge. It's really, well, it's a combination of knowledge and desire, but you need to I think you need the desire first to accumulate the knowledge, and then the knowledge substantiates the desire and increases it. I mean, it's cyclical. It's like the gerbil wheel. But you have to start somewhere. And even if you know nothing about the divine will, just go to the website, queendivinewill.org, and pick on any tab and just try it. And, you know, one thing, when you were reading that fantastic appeal, Ken, the thing that just comes to mind at the end of it, because I just love that so much, it is of gold to us, but it's all predicated really on, do we believe this to be true? Do we trust this? And if we do trust this, then that's a great way to enter into this gift. That's a great way to formulate your fiat. If we don't trust this, if it's something that we need to more work on, that's okay. God says, you know, it's not for everyone in the beginning. And that doesn't mean that, you know, those who are in the beginning are special. On the contrary, sometimes it's usually God is reaching for the bottom of the barrel. But again, everything is in time, and it may not just be time. But see, when we are reading this, Ken, I think the important thing is we must read it with the upright intention. Really quickly, and I'll pass it back to you. Volume 36, May 19, 1938, Jesus states this. He explains, so whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will find my flames and be all transformed in love and will love me more. But whoever reads them looking to split hairs and find doubts will remain blind and confused by my light and my love. My children, these truths produce two opposite effects. Those who are disposed, it's light, giving sight to their intelligence. And for those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truth. And cool. So again, God is not judging us on what we know at the starting gate. He's just asking us, will you give me an opportunity? Will you trust me? Will you give me a chance? Will you be open-minded? And he knows he's going to sway us because this is God. Yeah, we know this. That this is all inherently in us. Yeah, it's been dimmed since the fall. It's been deactivated. But we know this. We know how to do this. And God's going to rekindle that awaken, that mysticism, that divinity inside each and every one of us. It's happening. It's happening every day, every word we read.
Yeah.
Do we believe that? So that's the question.
Yeah. And it's like a fire, right, Peter? I mean, it spreads from, you know, one person to another. It's not going from one town to another town. It's, at least my experience, is one person to another person. And, you know, I'll never forget the first Divine Will retreat that was at Malvern last summer. It was Father McKay's first weekend at the retreat house as rector. And he came back from that weekend. There's over 300 people there. And he said he'd never been around a group of people that were so happy in all his years. And it's true. The people that are trying, and they don't have to necessarily be living in the divine will, but just attempting to, are some of the happiest people in the world, despite all the craziness and what some people might view as disastrous things going on around them, because we know that you know what's going on that is not of God, and that, you know, whether we're here when, you know, Jesus makes his triumphant return, or already in heaven, that things are going to change, and that, you know, we're not of this world, right? We're forced to live here at least for some period of time, but this isn't the world that we were created for. We're created for the kingdom, and so Jesus explains to Louisa, you know, what that kingdom is, what we need to do in order to live in it, and It's sometimes it's just as simple as the frame of reference or where our mind is as to whether we're, you know, in the kingdom or wrapped up in what's going on in this world. And so we certainly need to participate. We need to keep a roof over our heads and food on the table and clothes on our backs. If we have kids, we need to take care of them, extended family, and what have you. So there's obviously worldly things that we need to do in order to make that happen. But, you know, that's the things we need to pass through this world. Like, we're on a trip and on a train that this isn't our final destination. We've got somewhere else that's greater, and we have to go through some nasty parts of town in order to get there. But once we get there, as Father, you know, it's glory time. It's, you know, we'll be living one day permanently in that kingdom of the divine will. And like we've been saying today, especially with May coming, the Blessed Mother is one of the keys to getting there. The conductor, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You know, it's mind-boggling too, because again, I mean, look at the timing of what God is giving us. The greatest gift He can give to mankind, He's giving it at probably the worst time in the history of mankind. And again, you were talking about also about, you know, the correlation between, or possible correlation between tsunamis and earthquakes. Yeah, actually, Jesus talks about that. He talks about it. He says that when Adam fell, all of creation went against him, in essence. Okay, we're talking metaphorically as if they're people, but again, think about this. All of creation was created to share God's love with us. In fact, he says in Volume 21, April 22nd, 1927, he says, "Know that all of creation and each created thing instructs man. They narrate our divine qualities." End quote. So all of nature, when we look at that tree, we see God. Well, we don't see God's face in the tree, although maybe some of us do. But we see the majesty of God, how he formed the bark and the leaves and the photosynthesis and everything. So everything around us is a gentle reminder, a subtle reminder of God's majesty. Well, when Adam fell, all that went away. Now, all of creation, what they were created for, can no longer serve, because again, man can only give glory to God on the level of God due to God, and that's only possible in the divine will. So when Adam fell from such a high height, he could not participate in that any longer, and therefore creation was basically, they were given a pink slip. They're out of a job. They're out of work. And actually, Jesus says, and Father Nuzzi gives us like a very, very succinct talk about this also. He says, as sin abounds, nature will abound equal to it. So as sin increases, natural disasters will increase. Again, what was the first natural disaster? It was the original sin. It was Adam and Eve failing to recognize God as being God and doing their own will. So it all makes sense, Ken. And again, God just gives us all of this because He says I'm not going to invalidate your free will. I'm going to give you every reason to say yes to me, but I want it to come from the heart. See, when we know something and we have conviction to do it, we're going to do it well. I mean, of course, with the grace of God. If we're sort of with you, I think it's true. Well, maybe it's not true. You know, we're going to be wasting our time because we're not going to be able to get the full. Jesus says, I've got much to give you, but you must come into my will. What does that mean, come into my will? It doesn't mean live like Louisa. That means just be in the state of grace, be open to this gift on loan, as you articulated, Ken, which is incredible. At any time, you can give us this gift on loan, which is usually for one act, but that act may live for perpetuity. I mean, we can't comprehend the majesty of what he's given us because, again, our intellect has been dimmed. Wisdom has been, diluted, and all that's coming back now. A little bit at a time, or it can come back immediately. God's working miracles every day. We just fail to recognize it, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I know in the Seneca, currently we're reading, it's the fall of 1917, so it's, World War I, and Jesus is telling Louisa, you know, what's going on, why it's going on, what's going to happen next, and it all comes to fruition. And so whether it's war or natural events, God's totally in control. So even though the weather patterns and what have you may have been affected by the fall, you know, in the end, it's always God who is in total control of what's going to happen. And if he wants to stop a tsunami, if he wants to stop, prevent an earthquake, he can certainly make that happen. And so, as more and more folks begin to live in this, in his divine will, we'll see more and more changes in all those things for the better. But your point earlier, it may get a whole lot worse before it does, and we'll see the goodness in small pockets like we see today. But God is going to reign again. just a matter of time.
That's true. That's true. You're right, Ken. What in the future will be mitigated, you know, that's for God to explain to us. But how much has already been mitigated by God we're not aware of? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you and I were God, there'd be no more world. I mean, everything would have been, we would have given up a long time ago. But how much mitigation has already gone unnoticed? And how much will go unnoticed? See, all of this can be avoided. God is just trying to wake us up, and he's got to do it in the most demonstrative way he can. He's going to try first gently, but if we're not going to get it, it's like waking up a child for school. You know, you try to gently, you know, nudge them. And I mean, growing up, I had two daughters that didn't want to get out of bed, so I would actually be compelled to put water on their face and get the bed a little wet. My wife hated it, but it worked. Or I would put Pavarotti on like 100% volume, and they would wake up screaming. But again, God is doing the same thing. He wants to wake us up. If he can do it gently, great. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to be tough on us, but he has it. It's tough love, just like any parent would do, because they love their children so much.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes left. Suggestions for folks that want to get through the month of May with the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. What do you think?
My suggestion would be, Ken, I think you hit on it early on. There's a tremendous importance in reading the introductions to either the Hours of the Passion or the Virgin of the Kingdom, only because once you set your expectations, once you gain the knowledge of what you're going to be journeying through, you know, it's like looking at a sumptuous plate. You know, your salivary glands start to work, and the enzymes in your stomach, the digestion begins the process without even touching food to your lips. The same is going to happen in our heart. We're going to crave this. We're going to want this. And as we want this, again, that's our fiat. We don't always have to say fiat, 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 fiat. We can say it subliminally. We can say it naturally within our soul. And as we do that, God is unleashing these graces, these mystical gifts that again, are given to anyone who pleases. You know, they're not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given unequally. And again, but he has to wait. He has to wait till we say yes. And we can say yes subliminally. Then he's going to give us what we need to know. Once we find out what we have in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, or what we have in the Hours of Passion, what we have combined in this divine will gift, it's going to whet our appetite. That's what I would suggest. Read the introduction first, and then just go ahead. Now, again, also, we have it in text, and we also have it in an audiobook on our website. And one of the things I recommend also is I recommend if you're going to go out and purchase it, I suggest you buy Father Iannuzzi's translation because I think it's the best translation. It's from a bona fide theologian. It's the only English version from a bona fide theologian. And as Ken articulated correctly, there's like three imprimaturs and nihil obstats given to the Hours of the Passion and the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, but that's in its Italian translation, not in the English. There is no imprimatur given to any English piece of work. But again, the church has a sort of workaround because until that happens, again, it takes time to do that. As long as you're using the work of a bona fide theologian, you can use that, again, for basically public venues. Another thing about the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom with Father Iannuzzi's versions, he has footnotes. He drives you into the volumes. He gives you other statistical data from other saints that corroborate. Again, it's a full picture. It's a full breadth. And it's the Divine Will Prayer Book is the name of the book. It's got the Hours of the Passion, Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. I would suggest with that. I don't even know the cost of it. You go on Father Iannuzzi's website. But if money is an issue, if you're having difficulty right now, send an email to us at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, and we'll buy at least a soft copy for you that we can have that into your hands almost immediately. And we'll take care of the cost of that.
Very generous, Peter. So do you remember Father Iannuzzi's website off the top of your head?
LivingInTheDivineWill.org, LIDWL, LIDW.org.
Very good. I've got a copy of the green book as myself, the hardback.
Fantastic.
Looking forward to the month of May. And it was interesting because in that in the introduction, and I guess it's actually in the prayer you're supposed to pray each day. At the end of that, it tells us, did I close it? No, I still have it open here. Like the Angelus, and you could probably tack it on to the end of the Angelus, because it says each morning, midday, and night, three times a day, let us go on to the knees of our celestial mama and say to her, my mama, I love you, and you, love me, and give a sip of the divine will to my soul. Give me your blessing, that I may do all my actions under your maternal gaze. And I've talked to confessors in the past, and, you know, talking about sinful behaviors and what have you, and have them say, you know, if you think that the Blessed Mother's watching you all the time, that there's probably certain things that you're not going to do. There's certain things, even if it was my own mother, I probably wouldn't do under her watchful gaze. But if we think about just that, and that we do all of our actions, not only with the Blessed Mother, but while she's watching, I think we'll end up doing a lot more things that are God's will than are our own will.
And that's true, Ken, what you're saying. I mean, God says that. He says, I'm spying on you. He doesn't mean it nefariously. He's just saying, I'm watching you, especially crossing this exile. You know, you mentioned about how difficult it is living, in the world. We're not of the world. And but Jesus says, okay, I take greater satisfaction. I take greater joy in seeing those journey with obstacles, with suffering, in my divine will, than even the blessed in heaven, because they do it because basically they have to. He didn't say that, but he phrased it a better way. But so, again, he understands every one of our trials, every one of our difficulties, and he's going to be there. Remember, grace anticipates the soul. We have to just pluck up the courage and say, okay, you know what, Lord? I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know if you can work with me. I don't know if you can handle me, but I'm willing to give all of me to you. And watch what happens. And again, what do we have to lose? What do we have to lose?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No. And but if you've not tried it, if you've not bought into it, if you've not been all in, oftentimes you can, you know, wonder if it's really going to happen for you. Well, that's fine. It happened for Ken. It happened for Peter. It happened for this one. Is it going to happen for me? And you're not going to know until you try. And then once you try, you have the same question Father McKay always has. Will you do it again? You know, will you do it again? How many times in our lives, Peter, is God taking care of us? And then, you know, we're facing some situation or some meeting and not quite sure how things are going to go, and we doubt. And at least I should have enough experience by now to know that, you know, God's going to take care of it. It may not be exactly in the way that I expect him to, or the way I may like him to, but he's going to take care of it one way or the other. And it's only through experience and trusting in him that he is going to take care of it, or take care of us, that we can continue to give it over to him on a more regular basis, until that time when we finally give it all to him and say, you know what, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm all in and doing it your way. You got just a couple of minutes left here, Peter.
I mean, everything you said, Ken, it's just a matter of, I mean, how do you convince someone to try something? I mean, I haven't been able to figure that out, to be honest with you. And I can just, I only know the way that I was introduced to it. I was introduced to it by Deacon John Thompson.
There you go.
God love him. Yeah. And he did it in a way that was effective. He gave me, he said, does anyone ever hear Lucy Picaretta? And I said, no. The gift of divine will, no. We didn't. And he gave us just a little, I didn't even know what he said, but he said enough to spur my appetite, but not enough for me to make a decision already. So then and Deacon went home, and my wife and I think I mentioned this before, started doing some work on Luis and the divine will. And I kid you not, within 10 minutes, we both looked at each other on separate computers, and we said, this is it. So again, why did we recognize that? I mean, how can 100 people be shown this gift and 99% will say thank you, but no thank you? Again, because my explanation of that is God has a wonderful sense of humor. Okay, he likes choosing those he can work with. He knows us better than we do. He knew Peter was going to be a good leader, even though he decried him three times. He knew Thomas was going to be brave and courageous, even though he didn't trust him. Again, he knows us. Forget about what we've done, what we haven't done. God's given us an opportunity to start all over again. Divine mercy, paved the way, divine will, again, the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. Once we accept that, I think everything's going to be good.
Awesome, Peter. It's always good to be with you on this last Wednesday of the month, and hopefully we spawn a little bit of curiosity, and we'll hear from some folks. We usually do in the day or two following this show. So certainly appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy up there in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, and we'll have to get together one of these days and have a cigar, and especially now that the weather's getting a little bit nicer. So, again, Peter's website is queenofthedivinewill.org. If you want to get in touch with him, you can email him at maryshill, M-A-R-Y-S, Hill, all one word, at queenofthedivinewill.org. I highly recommend you get on his email list. You'll get notified when he's going to have Mother Gabriel and the sisters or anybody else on talking about the gift of the divine will. Peter, thanks again, pal. It's been great to be with you, and I look forward to being with you again next month.
A blessing. Thank you, Ken, so much.
All right, brother.
Thanks be to God for everything.
Amen. Take care.
You too. Love you, brother.
You too. And, you know, what a gift to know about a gift or to learn about a gift and be able to participate and hang out with people you never thought you'd ever hang out with, doing things you never thought you would do, and all for the greater glory of God, and in a way that we can try to make sense out of some of the things that are going on in this world. And, you know, it's been over 9 years now, I think, that been doing these shows on Wednesday, the 4 o'clock hour with Father McKay, the 5 o'clock hour, trying to bring you great programming to spur you in your own relationship with God, whatever that may be. And it may not be the gift of the divine will. It may be other devotions, other groups, you know, Third Order Franciscans, Carmelites, Dominicans, whatever it is that you feel that you're being called to have that holy boldness and you know, make that leap of faith that it is what you're being called to. And it's not like marriage. It's not like if you go down a path and you learn that it's not for you, you know, you don't have to run out and get a lawyer and get divorced or what have you. You can maybe discern that's not for you. And as long as you learn from it. Anyway, I want to thank you once again for being with me on this Wednesday. I look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.